Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you got it.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails. Anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. We finally have made it here. All the Bulls fans out there spending the last 7-8 months with us, listening to us talk throughout quarantine, we are finally here. It is draft day. And Matt, I can't tell you how excited I am because the rumors are flying. I had difficulty sleeping last night because as soon as I got home from the score, it was about 1 or 2 a.m., and I'm looking at Twitter, and it's like it's 7 p.m., like rumors flying left and right about the Bulls specifically. I'm just so thrilled and so excited, and draft night just hours away. How you doing, man?
What up, Jordan? What up, Bulls Nation? Thrilled. Can't wait to see what happens tonight. Lots of rumors swirling. I am just swatting them away like that Shaq gif, you know, I just like everything that comes into my timeline right now. I'm just like, I'm not here for this today, man. I'm putting my trust in AK and this new front office. I'm excited to see what happens. And I'm mostly just trying to stay grounded because there's shit flying everywhere.
Yeah, the key thing today is to not overreact to any one thing, one single tweet, one single report, one single rumor. That is the biggest thing to hold back from until we get to actual draft nights in like less than 12 hours from now. But we've got plenty to talk about here on today's episode, plenty to do over the next couple of days as well. Let's just get right into it, though. First, let's check off one of the rumor boxes from yesterday, Matt. So we got a report from Kevin O'Connor that I guess the Bulls checked in on Kemba Walker with the Celtics. Let's take a listen to him on WEEI's Boston Radio yesterday, where I don't think this is going too far, but just for everybody to hear, here's the Bulls checking in on Kemba Walker.
Yeah, so Gordon was the one name, but the other one was Kemba Walker. You know, there's reports about his name being thrown out to a bunch of different teams. So how do you think the Celtics feel about him?
Yeah, I think I heard Chicago asked about Kemba. I'm not sure there's anything really to that. And like Boston, Danny Ainge, he's never hesitated to listen about his players. We know that, you know, over the years, seeing him trade Antoine Walker, one of the first deals he made years ago, trading Isaiah Thomas after he had an MVP caliber season because of the injury concerns. And with Kemba, I think you look at Boston's history with guys who have had injury issues, especially guys heavily reliant on their athleticism and their bursts and their speed, like Kemba is, I'm sure they would, you know, err on the side of caution with a guy like that. So it makes sense to listen to offers. But right now, as of, you know, 2:30 in the afternoon on Tuesday, there's no expectation of a deal, but these things can always happen quickly. And for the Celtics, they obviously have to do something. It's just a matter of what they do with their draft picks they have and, you know, kind of a lot of guys that could potentially be moved on the roster.
So that to me was just a one-off comment. It was just one team checking in on another team's star player that is willing to listen, right? I didn't take anything much more than that, but it does back up your statements from multiple weeks, Matt, that the Bulls are actively looking for that playmaking guard, the guy that can kind of command their offense.
Yeah, I mean, to hear this rumor a day later makes sense to me in that, first of all, we have heard from reputable sources that the Bulls front office has been exploring avenues to bring in a veteran guard. You know, people had talked about, hey, maybe Rondo's on his way back, or, you know, a few other names that were floated. because they want a veteran. And, you know, of course, Bulls fans couldn't stop talking about CP3 as well. We know now that he went to Phoenix, but Kemba certainly checks that box of a veteran guard. And so I'm guessing that the Bulls were one of several teams that Boston talked to, because Boston, and I think, I saw somebody else say, essentially the Celtics called damn near every team in the league, throwing up Kemba Walker and seeing what they could get, because they were trying to do so to facilitate a trade to get Jrue Holiday before the Bucks could steal him. That didn't obviously pan out. The Bucks are the ones with that massive load of picks offer, end up getting Jrue Holiday. So, you know, by my logic, because the Jrue Holiday aggression is now off the table for Boston, they have less of a need to dish Kemba to get the proper assets that New Orleans would have wanted. I think that's the, you know, open and shut story of this rumor.
I think it also plays into the factor, too, that the Bulls are actively and willingly listening on Carter and potentially, I haven't heard much about Markkanen in the last couple of weeks, but all indications point to they are more than okay with, if they have to give up a guy like Carter Jr. in order to acquire a guy like Kemba Walker or even to move up in this draft. I think they're actively and willingly able to do that, and which I don't know what your thoughts are, and we can talk about that in a minute with the Warriors rumor as well. But yeah, I think it's kind of an open and shut case as well. Like, Kemba would be great, and I looked at his contract yesterday. I forgot he's getting paid $35 million for the next 4 years. So,
whew, that's a lot of money.
That's a decent chunk of money, and basically what you're saying is you're going to take yourselves out of contention, at least as big players in 2021 summer. And I don't know if AK is ready to do that yet. Same with Mark Eversley. So,
I mean, I think, wouldn't you say that, assuming healthy, that Kemba contract is not as bad as CP3's or Westbrook's?
Yes, definitely. And I think as far as peak arc and like even where they're all three of those guys' careers are at right now, over the 3 or 4 years that you would have each one of those guys, I think you get the most production out of Kemba Walker, right? The star power is probably biggest with Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. But yeah, in terms of production and getting the best out of guys like LaVine and Kobe White, I think Kemba Walker would be the clear favorite. But yeah, again, I don't see Boston giving them up. There's no reason to, especially like you were talking about with the Jrue Holiday deal now. And all the trades being kind of inflated, especially at that point guard position. It's been hot over the last 48 hours, so yeah, wanted to update people on that because I know that was flying around yesterday. Matt, before we get into some other draft stuff, any other thoughts on that Celtics rumor, who the Bulls might be floating out there and other possible deals?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it just is something that Bulls fans should be potentially bracing for tonight if the Bulls do make a move, and not necessarily about trading up or trading down, but going after that veteran guard that we have heard that they are keen on bringing in, because we know that they are looking to address the lack of playmaking on this roster. We know, according to reliable sources, that they're certainly looking closely at some of the guards in this draft class, whether it be trying to find a way to get LaMelo or maybe settling for a guy like Killian Hayes or Tyrese Halliburton or maybe even Kyra Lewis Jr. But there might be a name of a veteran guard that's out there that a team is quietly floating, that the Bulls are quietly talking to, that all of a sudden we see arrive later tonight. I honestly am struggling to come up with names of players that fit that criteria outside of now believing that the Kemba thing ain't going to happen. CP3's already been moved. I don't think this team has any interest in Russell Westbrook. Jrue Holiday already has been moved. What other guards are out there that you might see the Bulls try to swing for tonight? Or will they try to address that after draft night in a couple of days when free agency opens and see if they can find like a fringe veteran point guard that maybe they can get on the cheap who they still think can come in and be a valuable asset to this team, because maybe they don't think a rookie is ready to lead this offense?
Yeah, the only other team that comes top of mind that there's a veteran point guard out there that makes some sense is the Nets with Spencer Dinwiddie. But I mean, even right. Then... you're talking about,
or also the other name that just surfaced for the first time yesterday is John Wall. Did you see that rumor that like there's some maybe John Wall for Westbrook conversations going on between Washington and Houston?
It's about the only trade you can make for both of those guys, really, that makes any sense.
When I saw that, I had to remind myself that John Wall was a person that existed.
Man, John Wall's had a bad last 2 years. And I don't know, from all indications, man, and I know the Lifetime Gym videos that we get are very, very deceiving, but he looks like he's in the best shape he's been in like the last 3 or 4 years. We remember after he got paid how he came back and he was out of shape, and it kind of contributed to his injuries too. But yeah, on his awful contract, I think Russell Westbrook and him are like the only deals you could have swapped, or him and CP3 at that point. But yeah, I don't think the Wizards are going to be able to move Wall at all, and I don't think they're going to be able to move Bradley Beal either, who's somebody we can talk about in a second, Matt.
Right, and I don't think they want to move Beal. We can get to that. We also have to talk about this Wendell and the Warriors thing that's blowing up everybody's timelines this morning. Before that, though, want to give our listeners one last reminder about Locked On NBA draft coverage tonight. The NBA draft is finally here, and the Locked On Podcast Network will have live draft coverage this year on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Locked On Live. It'll be the only place you can find Chad Ford, the GOAT of draft analysis, on the night of the draft. Join Chad, Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks, and David Locke of Locked On Jazz for the most in-depth coverage of the NBA draft, featuring analysis from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. Follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, and get those alerts as soon as they go live.
We'll be checking in on that live stream as well tonight. So if you want to catch us right after the Bulls pick, Matt and I will both be breaking down that pick on the live stream. So it should be a lot of fun. All of the Locked On Live hosts, Locked On NBA hosts, will be checking in throughout the night. Before we get to those rumors, Matt, also want to tell our listeners about Built Bar. I've been telling you guys about Built Bar for the last several months. They've been fantastic to us. And honestly, it's changed the way that I've eaten breakfast, thought about my day. And honestly, now I don't feel bad about eating chocolate when I have a chocolate craving. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. There's 12 original flavors. They're soft and easy to chew. And they're great for the healthy conscious guy or girl in your life. They're low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. They're great for the keto diet. There are 12 original flavors. A couple of them that are my favorites are the German chocolate one and the peanut butter bar. Like I said, the peanut butter bar's got 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, and 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams of net carbs. Go right now to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's go to the Carter rumor real fast, because everybody laughed at Will Perdue like 2 months ago, Matt, when this was floated out there. The idea of trading
Carter. Yeah, myself included. Will's my guy, but I laughed.
Trading Carter for the and the fourth pick overall to move up to number two to take Wiseman. That reality could be in play tonight, Matt, as we're hearing rumors that the Bulls are very much interested in the number two pick from the Warriors and potentially taking it on James Wiseman.
Yeah, to me, this is one of those rumors that I'm swatting away like the Shaq gift this morning. I don't get it from the Bulls' perspective. I don't see it as a value trade for the Bulls, and I don't believe that the Bulls are the ones initiating this talk at all. To me, this is the Warriors leaking this as a signal to the other 28 teams who might be interested in that number two pick of what generally their asking price might be, aka swapping a first round pick for the number two and getting a young, promising player who maybe still is lacking a little bit of guidance and development, but has a great upside, like Wendell Carter Jr. And a player like Wendell who could certainly bolster the Warriors front court if they decide that they don't want to go by that, you know, just taking Wiseman in order to do so. We haven't heard anything other than red herrings as far as what the Bulls' plans are and who the Bulls are talking to about what players to trade for, about what players to trade away, and about what pick they're going to end up taking this, you know, tonight. So it's clear to me that this is the Warriors trying to get something going, and maybe with the Bulls, because they do like Wendell, or maybe with a different team to say, hey, generally speaking, if you're looking for number two tonight, this is what it'll cost you.
Whether or not the idea of bringing Wiseman to the Bulls at two is real or not is something we can discuss in a second, but I think the more important thing is the Celtics rumor, and then now this Warriors rumor, tell me again that Carter's in play for a trade. Like, the Bulls the Bulls understand, I think, he's got more value than anybody outside of Zach LaVine on this roster. Kobe White's untouchable. We haven't heard anything about him being moved at all. So take him right off the table. Make him a quote-unquote untouchable for the next couple of days. Carter's the second best valuable piece you have in terms of young, controllable assets, right? So it makes sense that they checked in on the Celtics for Kemba Walker. They're checking in on the number two pick, but I guess I'm just confused why they would use it on Wiseman. Do they really feel like Wiseman can play the center position better than Wendell can over the next 5-6 years, or you can build a team around him better than you can build a front court around Carter? I guess maybe they see the upside in his offense and being able to develop his defense. His defense has been good, and that's something that he's been touted for, and being able to block shots and also have a little bit better of an offensive game than Carter did coming out of college. That being said, we haven't seen Wiseman play in damn near a year, and are you ready to throw a 19-year-old out there and have him play legitimate minutes and on a team that is trying to compete? I think next year, this coming season, the Bulls are going to try to compete. Now, does that mean you're asking Wiseman to play a bunch of minutes on a team that's trying to compete? I don't know. So again, I think I go back to what you're saying too, is I don't know if the Bulls are necessarily interested in Wiseman. I think it's the Warriors trying to find any way possible to move down and gain any valuable assets for that number two pick. Because I don't think that they necessarily like having the idea to pick between Wiseman or LaMelo Ball at two should Edwards go one.
Right. So to me, here's the situation. When you're talking about Wiseman versus Wendell, there are two things that right now I can confidently say give Wiseman the edge over Wendell. And that is, instead of being 6'9 with a moderate wingspan like Wendell, Wiseman is 7'1 and has a 7'5 wingspan. He's got that. That being the case, plus his verticality, his athletic ability, his leaping ability, as a screener and roller, I think he offers you more of that element to your offensive game than what we've seen from Wendell so far. We've barely seen any post-up stuff from Wendell through two NBA seasons. Wiseman post-up game is still a work in progress. There's some decent like foundational pieces there. His footwork still needs a lot of work. And I think, you know, sometimes his decision making and his shot selection have come into question, and rightfully so. But when you're talking about upside of Wiseman over Wendell, I think like that's it. Like if you are the new Bulls front office and you're questioning whether or not you can really have such an undersized starting center as like Wendell is at 6'9", but we also know that Lauri Markkanen just cannot play the center position defensively in this league. He can't do it. I think we've learned that through 3 years now. We can put that conversation to bed. But if they are so high on Lowry and don't want to give up on him because of his offensive potential, maybe they want a bigger defensive presence, and that might lead them to say, okay, Wiseman over Wendell. But to me, they're like, that's where it stops, because like Wendell, in my opinion, has so much of a greater basketball IQ on the defensive side right now than Wiseman does. He covers so much space despite only being 6'9". I think, you know, Wiseman has a long way to go. He falls for pump fakes a lot. He chases blocks too much. He gets in foul trouble just like Wendell does. I don't see that many, boxes that you're checking to say, oh yeah, Wiseman's definitely better than Wendell. I don't see it, and therefore I don't see the Bulls' need to make this trade.
I am curious, though, if the front office believes, or even if Billy Donovan believes, if you can build a team around a center that's 6'9", and if Carter's willingness to play the center position in the future is still there. Like, we had that conversation multiple times last year, and things could have changed for Carter now with a new front office and a new head coach and a new coaching staff, too. A lot of that can change. I'm with you, too, though. My biggest question goes back to conversations even Warriors fans were having around this the last couple of days, where can the Warriors compete with a center that's going to be playing crunch time minutes at 6'9", having to go up against guys like AD, against Nikola Jokic, big time centers, guys like Rudy Gobert, big time centers that are going to command the defensive end of the ball? Can Wendell develop into a guy that can play crunch time minutes? And a lot of Warriors fans are saying, I don't know on this team if it's built to be able to do that. I don't know yet. I still really don't know. I still think there's a lot of question marks around what Carter's potential can be, especially with this Bulls team. But Matt, it goes back to the same conversation we've been having for several months now. they need to decide whether Carter and Markkanen can play together long term or not. And I think this, floating all these trades out there and testing the bait and testing the market on Carter and also throwing even Markkanen's name out there over the last month or so, I think is trying to stir some stuff up to see, hey, if we can actually get a deal that we can't pass up on, let's go ahead and pull the trigger. And at least we've got one big man we can stay with, whether it be Markkanen or Carter. But I think that it comes back down to that decision is like long term. Do you see a scenario where Carter and Markkanen can play together long term in crunch time and for the majority of the minutes? That's been a struggle too, is keeping both of those guys on the floor at the same time and actually seeing what you have. So do you feel like long term that there's still a possibility that Markkanen and Carter can play together long term here?
I honestly can't say that confidently, right? I don't know if you can. It goes back to the question that we thought we might get an answer to this past season, Jim Boylan's inability to coach. We definitely did not. And we kept else, you know, in a variety of ways, as politely as he could. I see myself as more of a fan. We also know, as I just said, Lowry play him at the five. You just can't. I don't know that that's something that Donovan and a new player development staff can fix with Lowry. I just think that there's much of to legitimately say that and say, I mean, have Lowry play the five and Wendell play the four. I don't see that as so. I would not be surprised to see the Lowry Wendell front court break up because the front office decides, for whatever reason, that they are not, for reasons that they're not a match. That decision may be great, but this particular example of, well, the Bulls are willing to part with Wendell. They value Lowry a little bit more. They really like James Wiseman. Reason for why such a departure from the Lowry-Wendell front court would happen in the next 24 hours.
So that's something that we're going to have to monitor, continue to monitor over the next several hours. And you can stay up to date with us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Matt, let's go to another rumor now real fast. The Bulls' infatuation, apparently, with Patrick Williams. I think this is one of those, let's swat it away with the Shaq gift, like you were talking about. I think this is a complete ploy. I think this is to get... I was laughing at Pistons Twitter last night because they were having an absolute and complete meltdown. Because the rumor is the Pistons gave Patrick Williams a promise at 7 should he be there. And I think the Pistons really love him. And the Bulls got wind of that, and so did the other teams around the NBA, and took his value as a potential back end of the lottery prospect and maybe gaining some value at 7 by taking him there. Now he's skyrocketed all the way into talks of the top five, and like Pistons fans were going absolute apeshit yesterday and just blowed their minds were blown. They're like, are we really gonna have to trade up for a dude that started at the back end of the lottery just to land the guy we promised at 4? Are we gonna really have to do this? Do you think that there's any possibility that that's the other move that could be made tonight with the Bulls, is moving down from 4 to 7 and finding a deal with the Pistons that works?
The Pistons really love Patrick Williams that much and are willing to throw. Then the question becomes, you know, your specific ass have that you want, in addition to doing that pick swap, and you know, what would it be? Is it Kennard? Sekou, maybe? And what are the Pistons willing to part with? But I feel like I've said time and again, that would be an ideal scenario, right? Down a few spots because some team desperately wants to go get their guy at number 4, and then take your options after you've traded down a few spots. And, you know, hopefully Hayes is still there, or maybe still there. Kyra Lewis Jr. is still there. And you get that player and you collect a second. Also, this talk that we should probably, the Bulls really high on Patrick Williams themselves. Not all smoke. We talked about it on the, that was just, the Bulls trying to entice some teams want to trade it to say, hey, you know, this Williams kid, we might just keep him for ourselves at number 4. But the other note that was floated by Casey Johnson this morning is that according to his sources, Billy Donovan is the one who was very high on Patrick Williams. And if AK and Eversley are indeed staying true to their word on their pitch to Donovan to say, hey, we're not just looking to appoint a coach to do our bidding. We are looking for a partner and building a partnership and valuing Donovan's opinion on the prospects in this draft and letting, you know, making the new coach happy by getting the player he wants. Like, it's possible that that's true. And I guess it is worth noting that, you know, Donovan spent his collegiate days at Florida, not Florida State, but regionally speaking, it stands to logic, it stands to reason that Donovan has a bunch of Iowa scouts in the Florida area. So maybe the whole thing about Donovan being really high on Williams has some legs behind it.
I don't hate the idea of moving down from 4 to 7 if it means also getting to take a look for a year at Kennard. The dude's career, he's career shooting 40% from three, Matt, on over 4 attempts per game. He averaged damn near 16 points last year. I know last year his season was cut short due to injuries, and that's something else too to be a little bit concerned about. But at 24 years old, and I know that they've been looking for a possible deal. I don't know if they'd make that deal either, if the Pistons would do that really just to move up for Williams at 4. I don't think Sekou's on the table. I think that's a guy that they're trying to build around for the future, too. He's one of those core pieces. I don't think he's movable, unless you're talking about potentially swapping Markkanen or Carter, and now you're in the same conversation again. So I think Sekou's probably off the table, but Kennard, I think, is definitely gettable. That would make me excited, is if the Bulls move down from 4 to 7 and got to grab their combo guard there, or maybe they even want to take one of the wings. Maybe they want to take a Coro there instead. I would be totally cool with that. And then you get a score for a year off the bench, and maybe you like what he's going to add to your team, and you can see if you can come to a long-term agreement on some type of extension. At least now, then, you have two shots of potential role players that are shooters and willing passers coming off the bench, and him and Valentine that you get to check in on for a year. And if it only means moving down three spots and you're going to get your guy anyway, I think it's a no-brainer at that point, especially if you can't move up. What do you think?
I mean,
Does the injuries to Kennard over the last 3 years bother you about him, or is it the contract situation, or you just don't really like his game?
I've just never really been that high on Kennard, to be honest. And I think you might be right. Maybe Sekou is not a player that they are willing to part with right now. And if that's the case, then, you know, if you're running out of assets that the Pistons have that you want to trade down, then you're talking about a future pick, protected first, a couple of seconds, which might not be worth it to the Bulls, or a pick swap in a future, you know, first round draft, something like that. Kennard, I don't know if that would be enough to do it for me.
I think that it's enough to get the conversation started. And yeah, maybe there's some other people in the same camp as you. I think the only thing that would bother me is that Kennard's only there for 1 year. So it would have to be almost like we have to get more than 1 year. And again, the injury is a little concerning, but not too concerning for me. And he's only 24 years old at this point. So it kind of lines up with the timeline of all the other players on your roster in terms of young, controllable pieces. Any other rumors that we haven't touched on yet that we should talk about before leading into a couple other final points before getting into who we ultimately think the Bulls, or what the Bulls ultimately will do tonight. Anything else that is top of mind for you?
Well, top of mind and has been for us for not just the last couple of days, but the last several months. Worth noting the latest about the Bulls and Zach LaVine and his future. Former NBC Sports Bulls insider Vincent Goodwill, now of Yahoo Sports, had a tweet earlier today saying that Zach LaVine and Bradley Beal are two of the very, very hot names today, you know, flying around the rumor mill on NBA draft day. We've talked about the Bulls' new front office, how they value Zach, what they see as a fit, whether or not Zach fits into their big picture long-term plans, and the fact that right now you'd be selling high on the best piece on your roster, and that might be a reason, you know, to do so. The one team that Vince Goodwill mentioned was the 76ers, which certainly is a team that you and I have discussed potential trade deals with if they, you know, were looking to split up the Simmons and Embiid duo. But it sounds like even with new management and new coaching, they're going to stick with the Embiid Simmons thing and try to just put other correct, you know, third star with them, better pieces around them. And I see Zach as a potentially great third star in Philly. But if you're not giving up Embiid and you're not giving up Simmons, then, you know, what is Philly offering in that kind of a deal? What do you think of that rumor?
I think there's some pieces that the Bulls would like, but yeah, it goes back to what do you have to take back? If it's not Simmons and it's not Embiid, I'm not taking Horford. Absolutely not. I mean, unless you're giving me like Matisse Thybulle plus, I don't know, a couple draft picks. Like, that's going to be the asking price for Zach LaVine. Like, Matisse Thybulle, who else is the other, Zaire Smith, right? He's the other one, right, too, yeah. That is the young, controllable shooter on that team. Like, he would be a guy that, him plus Matisse Thybulle plus even Josh Richardson, man. Like, they could throw him in that deal, too, but I would need a draft pick or multiple draft picks on top of that. And I keep going back to this, The trade market for Zach LaVine is completely different from what it was 72 hours ago. And that's all thanks to Jrue Holiday and the Bucks panicking. And that's all thanks to the Chris Paul deal, too. Those two deals, I think, have increased the value on Zach LaVine tenfold, man. And I don't know for you if that makes it more difficult now for the Bulls to trade LaVine and get exactly what he's worth, or if it makes it easier and more teams are now interested. But I think the 76ers make a lot of sense, but if I'm going to trade LaVine, I want Simmons or Embiid back. Like, that would be a structured part of the deal that I would want. And I don't know, like you said, are they willing to part with either one of those guys?
I would be surprised. I think they, if they're giving up Simmons or Embiid, they're not just asking for Zach and the number four. I think they're asking for the number four and Zach and, another one of Kobe, Lowry, or Wendell, or maybe another Bulls future first, because Simmons and Embiid are that level of star that command that kind of trade package. Like, you know, Zach and four doesn't get you either of those guys. I don't think it gets you close to either of those guys. What about you?
Yeah, it would probably have to be Zach. It would have to be probably Zach, Wendell, and the fourth pick. And man, that you might even have to throw another piece in there for Simmons. But again, like, the Bulls could make a case too to the 76ers. Like, you know, Ben Simmons can't shoot threes, man. And you guys already signed him to a long-term deal. And I get he's a playmaking guard that the Bulls have. This is exactly what we've been looking for the longest time. I don't know if that new front office and Daryl Morey feels like he can pair both of those guys and still make it work with Simmons and Embiid. All indications from what he did with the Rockets says they're going to try to split those guys up. And they also, too, have two terrible contracts in Horford and Tobias Harris. So does it mean if you're going to end up with Simmons or Embiid, does it mean that you have to take one of those bad contracts, too? And now you're talking about having to take on $50-plus million, right? Tobias Harris, I think, is owed $25 or $30 million over the next couple of seasons. Same thing with Horford. And then you're adding Simmons' contract on top of that. It's $25 million a year for the next 5 years. You're talking about adding a lot of money, and I think that's the only way you get around avoiding trading guys like Carter or Markkanen in a deal that includes LaVine and your fourth pick. I don't know. That's pretty rich, man, but if you're landing Simmons and it takes the fourth, LaVine and Carter, I would seriously think about potentially doing that. That also puts Bulls fans in the perspective of, if they make a deal like that, man, we might have to temper our expectations over the next two seasons, I would say, unless they're big players in 2021. But what would you think that says about this team and where they're going forward if they made a deal like that for a guy like Simmons and trading away LaVine, your fourth pick, and or Carter or Markkanen?
I mean, I think it would go in line with the, you know, overarching party line since the new front office came in, which was, you know, we want to rebuild this thing or retool this thing quickly. We want to get competitive now. And yes, we will do our due diligence as far as evaluating this roster and these young pieces that the previous regime together that have failed miserably to develop any kind of chemistry far in their first couple years in the league, and yes, they are. But if we see an opportunity to vastly improve our roster and make ourselves more competitive, we'll do it. And the other thing that we've heard time and again, we've heard that, you know, compared to all the other smoke and all the other rumors and all the other reports, I believe to be true, which is that there are no untouchable pieces on this roster right now. Not a single.
Oh, man. I think you're right. I think there's not a single piece. Like, but what scenario, in what scenario are the Bulls trading Coby White for a star, right? Like, if they're going out and trying to make a massive play for Harden or even for Beal, I think that's when you talk about Coby White being in play. But anything else, I think, is just kind of insane because we both love Coby White. I think consensus around Bulls fan base too is that everybody absolutely loves Coby White and excited to see what he's going to do under Donovan. So unless they're talking about a big time, like big time swing for Harden or Beal, who had one of those names to pair next to Zach LaVine, then I think you maybe are getting a little closer, or if it's including LaVine in that deal for either one of those guys. But I don't even think those are talks that to be had at this point. Any other teams that you can think of that might be interested in Zach LaVine as we approach the draft night? And even, I mean, these are talks that I think can still happen, Matt, over the next 2 weeks as we lead into training camp and are going to be continued conversations if LaVine stays on this roster opening night and throughout the season. That's a sticking point, is what other teams we're going to be interested in, or what other teams would be interested over the next several months.
Well, another team that, you know, we had talked about a few days back was this rumor that Dallas is a team interested in Zach LaVine, and whether or not, assuming no Luka and no Kristaps, they have something to offer, if it would be enough for the Bulls. One of our listeners, Austin, on Twitter this morning said, "Hey guys, love the content on the pod. Grew up a Bulls fan, but live in Dallas and have followed them for about 10 years. Thoughts on THJ, Tim Hardaway Jr., DeLon 18 and 31 for LaVine. Not ideal for the Bulls, but if they draft Ball, it seems like he's gone." He meaning LaVine, if the Bulls decide to build around a Ball, Coby White backcourt. I told him hard pass. I'm sorry, no offense to any, like, THJ and DeLon Wright, but 18, 31, and those two players for Zach LaVine is not good enough for me. What about you?
Saturday or Sunday night, I wouldn't even have said that was enough. You know, we were talking about Dallas's pick and Brunson and Tim Hardaway Jr. And I even said, I was like, that doesn't entice me at all. There's no reason to do that unless you're getting Ball. Like, that would be the only reason. And then you feel like you don't want to start the season pairing both of those guys together. But yeah, like even that, does 31 get you anything? Because you've got 44. You're adding 31 and 18. I mean, could you package all three of those picks and move back up into the lottery? Like, if you're going to turn a deal around and AK wants to get back in the lottery, say they keep their pick at 4 and they want to get back in for Killian Hayes at the back end of the lottery, or one of those guards that may be slipping, that could be maybe in play. But then again, you're banking on one of those guys at the back end of the lottery being better than Zach LaVine will be over the next 2 years or even long term. Again, I don't really see it. Right. Like, DeLon Wright's a nice piece, but he's not a guy that's going to start for you.
In that scenario, you're trading Zach LaVine for essentially Tim Hardaway Jr., DeLon Wright, and a late lottery pick.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
I'm good on that. Thanks.
Yeah, I know Dallas fans have been begging and like, oh, we need LaVine. It's like, yeah, you don't have anything to trade the Bulls. And we're not just going to give you LaVine after you guys have Doncic and Porzingis. No, thank you. So if you guys want to talk about Otto Porter Jr., we're open to having those discussions 100%. Matt, there's one other name. I know we're getting close here and we're definitely longer than we should, but who cares? It's draft day. There's another name out there. Thomas Satoransky has been floated in a lot of trade rumors over the last 24 hours. Do you see any teams enticed for him? What do you think the trade market is for him? What would you ideally want to get back in return if the Bulls were looking to deal him tonight or over the next several weeks?
That's a good question. Clearly, the Satoransky signing didn't work out, but that's not something that I'm putting on the former front office. If you know our listeners recall back when it happened, I was in favor of that signing. I think you were too. I was arguing leading into the season during training camp and then for the first part of the season that Sato was the correct starter over Coby White when a lot of the fan base was excited and wanted to throw Coby into the starting lineup. But it turned out that the evidence we saw of him being that guy for you know Washington when John Wall went down didn't translate. I don't think he is a natural point guard in the league. He just had a good stretch of games for the team that he played for before coming here. And it's unfortunate that it didn't work out that way. And it's unfortunate that I was wrong because I hate being wrong. But at this point, if the Bulls are trying to mix up this roster in a few different ways and are so constrained by not only the cap situation, but the lack of flexibility on the roster as far as guaranteed contracts, flipping Sato might make sense. As far as what I would want for him, you know, he's a guy that a different team in the league could see as a backup guard and a usable piece, a veteran that can give you 20 solid minutes off the bench. What is that worth? Is it worth a late first round pick? I don't know. You know, a player swap where maybe there's a young player out there somewhere who needs the whole change of scenery thing. Maybe that, or maybe a late pick. Certainly not both. What do you think?
That's the question I was going back to is like, is he worth a first round pick even if it's late? Like if it's the last 7 or 8 picks in the draft and there's a team there that is like, yes, like we can use Satoransky and we'll be off of his money because it's only partially guaranteed for that third year. We'll be off of his money if it doesn't really work out. So it's really technically only a 1 year deal for most teams. I think there's a scenario where you could find a deal with Boston. Boston's got 2 late first round picks and there's somebody that's been in desperate need of another guard to add to their bench. There's somebody that was in talks about maybe using one of their exceptions on Shaq Harrison. So maybe Satoransky, they can find a deal to maybe grab 26 or 30. But then again, it goes back to, does AK really love somebody at the back end of that first round more than they love Satoransky? I think that is probably the value, and maybe that's even a little too rich for Satoransky as a late first round pick. Maybe you get a couple second rounds, or maybe you even get a 1 year contract that you can match with him and take a flyer on somebody. But I think there's some value in Satoransky, especially for contending teams. So the Celtics would be a place that I would look. I mean, he could fit on a couple different rosters, man. It's just about ultimately what is he worth? Maybe I think in a ideal scenario, he's probably worth a back end first round pick. And that's you banking on the fact of optimism that he's going to have a better year than he did last year. And I agree with you too on Sato. I really was hoping it was going to work out. But again, like a lot of the guards on this Bulls team, it was a carousel in a weird situation last year. And he also dealt with a couple minor nagging injuries too, and it wasn't consistent every night, and his 3-point shooting was terrible too, terribly inconsistent. So, if all indications mean that he doesn't get traded, Matt, I'm hoping for him to have a bounce back year and actually help and contribute to this team.
It would be nice. I don't necessarily think it's the end of the road for Sato here. They might still be able to find a way to make him useful. And we love talking about Donovan's experiment with his 3-guard lineups in OKC this past season, CP3, SGA, and Schroeder. There is an opportunity here for him to try to do something similar and have maybe different combinations. If the Bulls keep Coby and Zach tonight, and they draft a guard tonight, and they have Sato, there are some options there. And maybe Sato actually flourishes in a role where he's not asked to be a primary playmaker, but a facilitator, you know, a supporting facilitator role. Because he did that with Washington, and he did it really well. He had a really high assist-to-turnover rate, and it wasn't like they asked to run the entire offense through him. So maybe Sato sticking around and a Donovan 3-guard lineup, Sato could actually be useful. Which he was not last year.
100%. So that would be what I would be banking on, is the fact that if you do draft like a guard that can you plug and play right away, and that's just the way that you want things to be run, or even if it's the start of the season and you start Sato, and it's Sato, White, and LaVine as your starting three there, or even Otto playing there, and it's White, LaVine, and Otto with Sato coming off the bench, I'm okay with that too. he doesn't absolutely have to be moved. It's the same thing with Thaddeus Young. It's like, he doesn't absolutely have to be moved right now. I think there's definitely deals to be done at the trade deadline too, which we can't forget about either. It's like, there's still value for a lot of these players on this Bulls roster to come back and play half a season, and maybe you can add value that you don't have right now to guys like Sato, Thaddeus Young, even to some extent, guys like Markkanen, if you're not super high on him, or Carter, or any of these guys. So I think there's still some value in thinking about the trade deadline as a possibility for even LaVine that we were talking about. The last thing I got, Matt, we'll get out of here, because this does affect where the Bulls might draft tonight. There's reports, one coming from a beat writer in Charlotte, Rick Bonnell. He just tweeted out that Onyeka Okongwu has a foot injury that might affect his draft.
Yeah, a fractured toe, I believe, is what I saw.
Correct. Timeline for that healing is supposed to be 1 to 3 weeks, but they're talking about him missing the start of training camp, which is less than 2 weeks away, and potentially missing some preseason games as well. Do you think that affects his draft stock at all? Do you think that pressures the Hornets to really panic and say, you know what, fuck it, we're going to do whatever it takes to move up to number one and just finally get our center in James Wiseman? Do you think that's a real possibility?
Maybe. And it could scare off some teams, but, and I've heard, you know, and I've seen on Twitter today that NBA teams, especially those in the top 10, are scrambling to get more info on the medical report specifically of just how serious this Okongwu injury is. But to me, it's not that big of a red flag. Like, a small fracture in a toe, like, you know, yeah, big guys, you want to make sure that their feet are healthy, but it's not an ankle. It's not a bone in the foot. It's not plantar fasciitis. It's not something that I would consider to be a big red flag. Might it cause his stock to fall a few spots tonight? It's possible. I don't think you would see something similar to what we saw with Michael Porter Jr., where the Bulls and a bunch of teams saw his medical reports and said, yikes, pass. I think it's a minor injury by everything that we've heard. So, you know, maybe it kills this possibility that we had talked about of Okongwu jumping into the top three because Charlotte was that high on him and the Warriors take Wiseman and Charlotte wants a big man. Maybe it's enough to knock him out of the top three. But by all accounts, we had heard that the top three was going to go chalk as of, like, you know, 48 hours ago. So, no, I don't think it has a great impact on where he goes tonight.
Interesting. I think if Charlotte's super set on getting a center and want to swap between Minnesota for 1 and 3, I think then there's a real possibility that LaMelo Ball falls to 4. Think about it for a second. Charlotte moves to 1. Maybe they give up an asset to move there. Minnesota can still get Anthony Edwards at 3. The Warriors decide, you know what? We don't really like Ball. We don't like his fit. We're just going to take a pass on him. We really love Denny. We're going to take Denny at 2. Denny gets drafted at 2. The Minnesota Timberwolves take Anthony Edwards at 3. LaMelo Ball falls to 4. I think that's a real possibility, especially with the Okongwu injury news that we have, is like the Hornets don't want to bank on the fact of taking a guy with a slight injury coming into the draft and say, fuck it, if it only takes one other asset that we've got on this team, whether it be Malik Monk, whether it be, I don't see them giving up Bridges, but even if it took to that point to move up to get your guy in Wiseman and they really love him, I don't see why they wouldn't do that. And for Minnesota, I don't see why they wouldn't do that either. If it still means that they're getting Edwards.
I don't know, man. I think I might disagree with you there a little bit because despite, you know, the talk about Charlotte needing a big man, we've also heard that Charlotte is interested in LaMelo, and the reports about Charlotte maybe being a team that might look to swing a Russell Westbrook trade. One of the details we heard is that it depends on whether or not they get LaMelo on draft night, because if they get LaMelo, they see less of a need to bring in Westbrook because they want to groom LaMelo. So I think if the Hornets look to trade up from number 3 to number 1, it won't be for Wiseman. It'll be for LaMelo Ball.
Interesting. That's a good. I think you're right. I think you're spot on too. Like, it would make sense getting the best playmaking guard at their position, and maybe they can go out in free agency and chase that center that they're looking for.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, they could use a piece in the front court, but also, like, you know, they just They just paid, what's his name, more money than they ever paid Kemba Walker.
The dude that half of Bulls Nation wanted here and has been atrocious with the Hornets in Terry Rozier. Yeah, I remember
Rozier,
that.
Rozier, yes, thank you. Yeah, like it's not like he's their long-term answer, man.
No, that's a good point. And the only reason why I bring that trade up, and we'll get out of here after that, is the NBA draft.net, which is one of the big draft sites, tweeted out this early this morning. This was at 2:30 in the morning. I was still awake at the time. That's why I saw this. Why the Timberwolves take James Wiseman at number one. We are projecting this pick to be traded to Charlotte. We hear the pick is actively being shopped, and the Hornets fear Wiseman will be taken second if they don't make a move. Likely to happen is the word. That was as of about 10 hours ago. So I don't know if things have changed with the Okongwu news as well, or if the Bulls are really infatuated with taking Wiseman. Again, it could play into the fact of the Bulls balking at Charlotte and saying, hey, if you guys don't move up, we are, and we're taking your mans. So either make a move or don't. I think that could be a play too.
It could be. Man, again, we just talked for nearly an hour. And we talked in circles about all the rumors and what we might see happen tonight. And I come back to at least the feeling that I love AK and everyone on this Bulls new front office playing everything so close to the vest. They got other teams scrambling, following red herrings, trying to figure out what's going on. The fan base has no idea. I'm excited to see what happens. And I am more than okay with the fact that nobody knows what the Bulls are about to do.
I'm with you, man. Like you said, we talked for almost an hour. And I'm still circling back to I have no fucking idea what they're doing. I have no idea what they're doing it for. And I almost like it better than kind of already knowing. Like the last 2 years, we kind of already knew who the Bulls were taking, right? We knew Carter. It was either going to be Carter or Bamba. And then we knew it was pretty much going to be Coby White or Jarrett Culver. Like whoever was taken right ahead of them. And that's what we ended up with the last 2 years. So it's kind of nice to have the unpredictability. But it also leaves me with a ton of anxiety with 12 or with 8 hours left to go till we actually get to draft night. But it should be exciting, man. I am more than thrilled. And stay up to date with everything that we're doing over the next 24 hours. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. We will have a emergency episode sometime tonight and early in the morning. So it should be in your feed by the time you wake up tomorrow morning, breaking down the draft pick, everything that's gone on craziness on NBA draft night. We'll be live too. Check out the NBA Locked On NBA's live draft stream. We're having a live show that starts at 6:45 Central Time tonight. So check that out. We'll be tweeting out links to that. Matt and I will be joining the show shortly after the Bulls make their pick, or if they decide to make a move, we'll be jumping back in with them to kind of discuss the pick. So follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Make sure to subscribe to the show. Thanks to everybody who's been listening. We've been getting a lot of new listeners over the last few weeks. So if you're joining us for the first time, we appreciate you taking a listen. Appreciate you joining the show as well. And for all of our OG listeners out there, thanks for hanging on through the quarantine and for listening to Matt Peck and I talk every single day. We're finally here and very excited to see what the Bulls do tonight. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, enjoy NBA draft night tonight. We'll be back tonight/tomorrow morning with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com